No, mums and dads and boys and girls, I had come with a real grown-up adult message, but I'm going to change it completely, and we're all going to be children. And what we're going to do is quite simple. I'm going to put them in for a competition. And I give a shield to the best group of boys and girls I go to over a period of 6 months. And if they win it, they all get a silver medal. Well, London's won it, Liverpool won it once, but it's never been in Australia. Wouldn't it be grand, eh? Right. Now an upside down scripture. Now this is where you've got to be clever. Thank you very much. Now when I speak softly, you speak loudly, and when I speak loudly, you speak softly, right? So if I say, whosoever shall call, you say, whosoever shall call. If I say, upon the name of the Lord, you say, upon the name of the Lord. And if I say, shall be saved, you say, shall be saved, right? But don't split my eardrums, will you? But when I go loud, you go soft. When I go soft, you go loud. Now, this is the scripture. You don't have to say this. Romans 10, verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13. Right, off we go. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Shall be saved. You see, it's going to be hard. All right, we'll do it once more. It's going to be hard, you watch. Whosoever shall call. Upon the name of the Lord.
Upon the name of the Lord.
Shall be saved. Now it's going to be very difficult. Whosoever shall call. Upon the name.
Upon the
name. No, you're doing well though. Don't give up, you're doing well. Right, we'll have that once more. Upon the name.
Upon the name.
Shall be saved. Good. Now the last time, that's good. Whosoever shall call. Upon the name. Shall be.
Shall be.
Saved. Good. Now you did very well. Excellent. Right. I want one lad. Would that boy there come up and help me? Good. I think we better, can you do this, boy? Would you go down and stand on that red mat with your back toward the congregation facing toward me, right near that mat. That's right. Just there. Now, would you come out? You come out. And that girl, right? Oh, no. You three come out. That'll be good. Leave your hymn books behind. And come up here. My dear. Well, you there. You there. And you on the chair, right? With you. Your back towards the congregation. Now, this girl is past. That girl is present. And this girl is future. Can I say that once more? Miss past, Miss present, Miss future. I'll say that once more. Miss past, Miss present, Miss future. You're Miss what? Good. You're Miss what? You hope you don't miss the present, right? And you're Miss future. Good. So have we got that? Now I want you to notice this. When Jesus Christ came into the world,
He came into the world to bring that human family, past, present and future, right back to God. Because as their backs are on us now, so the world had its back upon God, because the world was rebellious toward God, and there was this barrier of sin between man and God. And when Jesus came into this world, he came into this world to bring that world back to God. When he died on the cross and shed his blood, and this is very important, it doesn't mean to say that God has, as it were, a bowl of Jesus' blood in heaven, and when you're forgiven, he washes you in that blood. Now, it doesn't mean that at all. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died on behalf of their sins, and he shed his precious blood, which means he gave his life for our sins. And blood always speaks of someone giving their life for another. And through his death, our sins can be forgiven. Now, when Christ died on the cross, he died for all the sins of the past world, and that was laid on him and its judgment. He died for all the sins of the present world at the time of Jesus, the Roman times, and all that sin and its judgment was placed upon him. And he died for all the sins of the future world, and all that judgment was laid on him. And therefore, when Christ died on the cross, he died for sin once and for all. So that instead of God's judgment coming on the human family, it came upon the Lord Jesus. Now, watch this carefully if you can, boys and girls. We have past sins, the sins that we have committed from our babyhood. We have present sins, that's the sins that we commit day by day that all grieve God. And we have future sins, that means the sins that we will commit when we get older. And God knows them all. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he not only died for your past sins, he not only died for your present sins, he died for your future sins. Why? Because he is God, he knew them all, and they were all laid on the Lord Jesus. Now, when a boy or a girl or a man or a woman becomes a Christian, God does two things. Number one, he shows us, first of all, the awfulness of our sins, and it is as though we were kind of blind to our sins, and he takes away that kind of blindfold, and he shows us how serious our sins are. Even the best of us, we all have sins. And he shows to us that we have past sins, we have present sins, and we will sin even in the future. And then he shows us that Christ died for our sins, and all our sins can be forgiven, once and for all, because he died for us. Now, when a person becomes a Christian, this is what they do. First of all, they tell God that they're very sorry for their sins, and instead of having their back on God, they face God and want to go God's way. That's called repentance. Secondly, because Christ died for them, they ask the Lord Jesus to forgive all their sins, and this is what happens. He forgives all our past sins. Go and sit down. And every one of them is forgiven. He forgives all our present sins. And everyone is forgiven. And he even knows our future sins, and he forgives all them once and for all, so that when we are forgiven, we are absolutely clean before God, and instead of having our backs on God, we are faced now to God, we are friends with God, and we live with God forever. And that's why we live a different life. And constantly we thank the Lord Jesus for dying for us. Now, isn't it wonderful to be forgiven? Isn't it wonderful to have peace with God, to know that we're right with God once and forever? And we want every boy and girl to do that even today. Good. Now, can they have a prize? He did very well. This curly-headed boy did very well. Good. There you go. Lovely. Get in a special prize, would you? All right, I didn't put a wave in. Good.
Now we're going to have the last part of the program, and I'm only going to speak for 10 or 15 minutes because I don't believe in keeping boys and girls too long, or mums and dads. And tonight we shall have a special meeting when I want to speak on the subject, and I would like you all to come and bring your friends, God's great message of comfort to a troubled world. Now, if you can, let's see the place packed out tomorrow night. Now, it's the last part of the competition. You've done exceedingly well. And we just do this. If you are a wriggler, you're known as a worm, and you lose a point for being a worm. Do you have worms here? Yes. If you are a talker, you're known as a monkey. If you irritate someone else, you're known as a crocodile. And if you sit still, you're known as a human being. And I'm going to watch you carefully, all right? One clap and the competition's on. Don't you clap, this is to get you ready. Many years ago, in the time of our Lord, there was a farmer. And he lived in Samaria. And he was ploughing the ground, and it was hard and rocky. And all he had was oxen and just a piece of steel that went into the ground. And he was going backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And one day, he looked at his hand, and there was a spot. It was a little deeper than the colour of his skin. It was white, and he was an Easterner. He pressed it, and he couldn't feel a thing. And suddenly, something within him said, "Go in and show your wife." So he stopped the little plough, untied the oxen, and went in and called his wife. "Tinor!" And down she came. "What do you think this spot is?" And she looked at it carefully, and then she said, "You men, you always make a fuss over little things. That's nothing, that's just a spot." And he felt as small as that. And back she went to work. So he went back to his work. He brought his oxen together, yoked them together, started to plough the earth. And he was going backwards and forwards, day in and day out. And it would take them almost 3 weeks to plough one field. And boys and girls, he looked at his hand, and to his surprise, that spot had grown from the size of his thumbnail almost to the back of his hand. "Right," he says, "I'm going in now." So he called his wife, and she came down the stairs, and she looked at it, and she was shaken. "Oh," she says, "it's grown, hasn't it? And it spread rapidly. You see, it started so small, it was just like the size of my thumbnail, but now it was the size of the back of his hand. It had grown. And that's just like that ugly thing called sin. I knew a boy who went to school, and he never used bad language, but he heard it, and he came out with one bad word. And then it wasn't long before they tumbled out. I knew a girl that went to school, and she had never stolen in her life. But she went into Woolworths, that's a store that they have in Britain, like some of your great stores, like Kmart, and she saw some little pencil sharpeners on the counter, and when no one was looking, she took one and got away with it. Then she took some sweets and got away with that. And then one day she took a transistor radio set, and someone touched her on her shoulder, and she was caught. You see, sin starts in a very small way, but it grows and gets bigger. Well, boys and girls, his wife said to him, "Now I think you ought to go and see that Hebrew priest, for he was like a doctor in those days. And just show him, perhaps he can help you." So he put his best garment on and washed, of course, and he went off to see the Hebrew priest. And when he got to his house, the dog barked, for there were two big hounds, and he was nervous. And then he came to the door and he knocked on the door. And then the priest's servant opened the door and said, "What is it you want?" And he said nervously, "I've come to show your master my hand. Could he help me?" "Just wait a moment," he said. "Would you go in that room?" And he showed him in the room, "and I'll bring my master." And when he got into the room, he put his hands nervously in his garment pockets and he started to read the scriptures. "All have sinned. The soul that sins, it shall die. It's appointed unto man once to die." And then the door opened. And there was the priest. And guess how he was dressed? He was all dressed in white. He had a white little mitre on his head like a bonnet. He had sharp piercing eyes and a black beard. And he said, "What is it you want?" "I've come, sir, to show you my poorly hand." He says, "Would you come over to the light?" And he looked at it. And then he said, "I want you to turn away your face from your hand, like this." And then he took out a sharp needle and he pricked his hand and said, "Did you feel that?" "No, sir." "Now give me your good hand. Now turn your head away." And he pricked that. He says, "Did you feel that?" "Oh, yes," he said. "Right," he says, "turn your head away again." And he did. And he got the needle and he pushed the needle almost through the hair. And he didn't feel a thing. And then the priest looked sad and said, "I don't know really what's wrong with you, but you see that little hut there?" "Yes." "I want you to go and live in that hut for 7 days. We'll feed you and then we'll come and look at you again." You see, the part that was all white, the nerves had been destroyed and he couldn't feel any pain. You know that boy that used to swear I told you about? The first time he swore, his conscience worked like that and said, "You shouldn't do that." You know the girl that I told you about that actually stole something in Woolworths? When she did it, her conscience worked and said, "You shouldn't do that." But boys and girls, mums and dads, when we keep on sinning, the conscience stops working. And that's when we're in serious trouble. Well, he waited in this hut for 5 days and he was longing to get home, just like you are when you go into hospital. The sixth day came and it seemed to drag. And then came the last day, day number 7, when he was going home. And it was early in the morning and he heard the sandals of the priest coming. He heard the key going into the rusty lock and the door opened and there was the priest and he said, "Would you show me your hand, please?" And he looked at his hand. He looked at his good hand. He said, "Would you turn your head right away, please?" And he did. And he took that needle and he pierced his hand. He said, "Didn't you feel that at all?" "No, sir." And then the priest looked sad and he turned away from him, as I'm going to turn away from you. And he just did this. And then he turned to him and he said, "Sir, I'm sorry to tell you, you are a leper."
"A what?"
"A leper."
"I'm a leper?"
"Yeah."
"And what does that mean?"
"You'll have to leave your family and come and live here."
"But for how long?"
"Forever."
"But will I see them again?"
"I'm afraid not."
"But why not?"
"Because it's catching and contagious. You'll have to live here."
He couldn't believe it.
And he went home with a heavy heart, with his hands in his garment pocket, and he was saying, "I'm a leper. I'm a leper. Boys and girls, mums and dads, have we all discovered in the sight of God that we are sinners and we are separated from God? Well, when he got near his house, his children came running out, a mother came out, and he says, "Don't come near, don't touch me. I'm sorry to tell you," and his eyes were filled with tears. That's leprosy. It's not. It is. And what does that mean? I've got to leave you. And he bit his lips. He turned his back. He said goodbye. And they saw him climb the hill. And they saw him almost disappear. And they waved goodbye. And then they said, "We'll never see him again. Watch my hand." As leprosy separated that family, sin separates us from God. When he got into this little leper camp, this leper hospital, he started to count the beds, and this is how he counted. You listen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There must be another now. And it wasn't long before the door opened and one man came in with leprosy and he was walking like this. He had leprosy in his legs. Another man came in and he was a leper and he was almost blind. It was in his face and he came in like this. And one man was a leper, and he had leprosy in both his hands and arms, and he had withered arms, and he came in like this. And one man had leprosy, and it covered the whole of his body, and he came in puffing, and he was dying with it. And the man from Samaria just had leprosy in his hands, and although he could still move his fingers partly, he felt that he was all right, and he went to the man that was full of leprosy, and he sat next to him and tried to help him, and he said, "Well, of course I'm not as bad as you, but I'm here to help you." And the old man said this, "Son, when I came in here, I just had a small spot on my knee. And you see, little lepers grow into lepers like me. And children, small sinners can grow into great sinners if they're not forgiven." Well, boys and girls, one man came into that leper camp who was a rabbi. And he had leprosy in his elbow. And he told them some wonderful news. And this is what he said. "Gentlemen, in my country, in Jerusalem, there's a great man. He's the Messiah, and I believe that he's the Son of God, and he's healing people." And one man said, "Can he heal and cleanse lepers?" Listen. "There was one man that came to him, I heard, that was so full of leprosy that his whole body was covered it. He was just like our friend here, Marcus. And Jesus touched him." And they all said, "Touched him? No one touches us." He touched him. And he says, "I will, be thou clean." And all the leprosy disappeared. And do you know what those poor men did every day? They prayed that Jesus would come to their village. And one day they were out begging, and this is how they used to beg. They put their little finger over their upper lip, and they cried out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And then they would say something like this in Aramaic, "Alama! Alama! Alama!" And they would call for food. And the people used to scatter, and then they would throw money and food to them. And they picked it up, and that's how they lived. And one day, they were out in the village, and they saw a crowd of people. One man got on the rock, the rabbi, and he looked, and he nearly fell off the rock with excitement. He said, "Gentlemen,
The Messiah's come. What, Jesus? Yes, there he is. And guess what they did? Those that had hands put them over their mouths and they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You see, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus called them. And this is how they came. One man came with his blindness and he was fumbling along. Another man came with leprosy in his arms and he was all shaking. Another man came with leprosy all over him, our dear friend Marcus. And us, a friend from Samaria came with that leper hand. And Jesus looked at them. And when the Samaritan leper looked, he said this, what a beautiful man. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And Jesus quietly said, go and show yourself to the priest. And they all turned round and walked back. And suddenly that man from Samaria looked at his hand and he looked at the other. He looked again and he screamed out, it's all gone! And instead of going to the priest, he ran right at the feet of Jesus and he said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Jesus quietly said, where are the other nine? Haven't they come back to give thanks? He says, I don't know, but I have. Tom heard this story and he was worried. And he went home with his hands in his pocket and he was saying something like this. I've sinned. I must be separated from God. And yet Jesus loved me and died for me. I'm going to thank him. And guess what he did in the street? It was dark. He took his school cap off. No one was coming. And he got near a lovely old lamppost and he put his hat behind his back and he said a prayer like this. You listen. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me when I have done wrong. Thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me and come into my heart now. Amen. And guess what happened? His past sins went. His present sins went. His future sins went. And he was made right with God.